recorded in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Infamous Indie Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Melillo. This show features real-life stories of Indiana's most infamous horrors, Circle City serial killers, and crimes, both current and cold. I sit down and interview people who know these crimes the best. Sometimes they're authors, sometimes law enforcement, and even family members of the victims. In the end, you'll see a darker side of Hoosier hospitality. On February 13th, 2017, 13-year-old Abigail Williams and 14-year-old Libby German were dropped off by Libby's older sister, Kelsey German, at a local hiking trail. The Monine High Bridge is an abandoned railroad bridge that travels over Deer Creek in Delphi, Indiana. Well known to the Delphi community as a safe place to enjoy nature, they were told to be careful, call if they needed anything, and have fun. Sometime during their walk, an older white man with reddish hair, 220 pounds, between 5'6" and 5'9", crossed paths with these two girls. Police believe at some point Libby German saw this person and was well aware of the danger she and Abigail were in. Libby took out her phone and started to record. That's the voice of somebody. A white man with reddish brown hair between 5'6" and 5'10", weighing between about 180 pounds and 220 pounds.
Libby's grandfather was supposed to pick the girls up from the park at around 4:30 that afternoon. After an hour of waiting, everyone started to get really worried. This was unlike the girls. They called police and other friends and family to get together and start searching. They looked for the rest of the day and into the evening, calling out their names, dialing their cell phones, hoping they would hear something. Maybe they were just lost. Maybe they were hurt. They had to keep looking. After hours, Abby and Libby's friends and family went home to try again the next morning. On the next day, their bodies were found by a search party. Police have not released information on their condition or the injuries they may have sustained. The investigation continues to this day.
Police did recover Libby's cell phone at the scene. A photo and voice recording were taken from German's cell phone and released to the public the next day on February 15th. Police didn't officially identify him as a suspect until February 19th. Authorities indicated that more evidence relating to the suspect was found on that phone, but it will not be released to the public as to not compromise any future trial. They also released a composite sketch and description of the suspect. Police have since received thousands of tips that come in every day. On Valentine's Day 2019, it will be the two-year anniversary of the day police found these girls' bodies. Libby's older sister was kind enough to sit down with me 1 month before the two-year anniversary to discuss where the case stands now and what the last 2 years have been like for her and her family. She's an incredibly strong person and is taking on the role of spokesman for the case. Kelsey is a freshman in college now, but is fighting to keep that case in the minds of the public every day. I hope what you'll take away from this interview is the ripple effect something like this has on a person, family, and community. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Infamous Indie and the interview portion of the podcast. And sitting across from me at Ball State, because we're in Ball State on the campus right now in the student center, is Kelsey German. And Kelsey is the sister of Libby German. Her sister was murdered in Delphi, Indiana on February 13th or 14th. The bodies were found on the 14th in 2017. Kelsey's been kind enough to join me to talk about this, and my goal for this podcast is to be able to give people like you a voice and be able to tell your story in your way, kind of like we were talking about informally as a way to do this. We're about a month away from the two-year anniversary. At this point, a lot of the investigations, you know, they've been telling you, you've told me off camera that or off podcast audio that you've been getting updates, but really they keep getting tips. They've released, I've told at this point that, you know, they've released the video and, or the video picture as well as the audio, that infamous sound of somebody saying down the hill. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for joining me. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
You're a freshman here at Ball State, but you have really made a point to go out and give a voice to your sister in this case. Why are you doing this? And talk about the strength that you get from other people, too.
I'm doing this because my sister was my best friend. And I do believe both girls deserve the justice that we all want to get now. I'm super inspired by the people around me and the people who have helped me to start my advocacy, as well as my sister, Abby, because without my sister's strength and confidence, I don't think I would be sharing the things that I'm sharing. I was always the shy and quiet one, and she was the more outspoken and loud and always going to do things kind of person. And I was definitely the opposite of her. So before, I probably wouldn't have decided that I do have this voice. I probably would have put myself down and told myself that I was going to keep being quiet. But because of my sister, I learned that my voice is important and I need to share to get to the justice we want.
I mean, that's incredible that this is like something that you've kind of blossomed into. What has the response been? You got to go to CrimeCon in Nashville?
Yes.
And it was the second annual. Actually, the first one was in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And this second one, you got a chance to meet some people. Talk about what your experience was there and I guess some strength that you got from that.
Mm-hmm. CrimeCon was awesome. In the beginning, we were kind of reluctant because we thought of Comic-Con. We were like, are these people going to be dressed up as serial killers? Like, what are we going to find when
we
get there? We didn't even know about the first one. I don't think it would really been advertised very well. But then we heard about the second one. They'd called us and asked us to come. While we were there, the group of people that advocates for the victims of the Golden State Killer were there. And specifically, Michelle Cruz, who is the sister of Janelle Cruz, who was raped and bludgeoned to death by the Golden State Killer in 1972. And she was the younger sister, so I kind of felt for her, and I understood where she was going through, and she understood what I was going through, so she kind of gave me the strength to continue being an advocate for my sister. And when I don't know how to feel, I'll talk to her about it, because she's one of the only people I know that has been through basically the same thing I've been through. Like, I can talk to my family about it all day, but they won't understand the same way she does. So I got so much strength from her as a person and as we shared those tragedies. And she's helped me to see that advocating for my sister is so important. And it'll eventually will lead to us finding who this guy is.
At this point, the leads, there are, you know, like we said, the investigators are getting more and more tips. Mm-hmm. That's encouraging. It must be encouraging. Mm-hmm. That the information is out there, and there's that sketch, that infamous sketch that everybody sees and tries to compare. I want to have you, I know I had you do it before. I'd like to have you go through the day again. I thought it was very interesting. I know my listeners would want to hear your perspective, because I don't think anybody can describe it as best you can that day, because you were the one who dropped off your sister to the trail they were eventually found, their bodies were found at. Mm-hmm. That day, I mean, I can go start it because I remember a little bit, but you told me that you were at your grandparents' house. Mm-hmm. They wanted to go hiking. It was a day off from school. School had been makeup day. It was a snow day, extra snow day, so you guys had the extra day off. It was February 13, 2017, and you said, I'll drive you, because they wanted to go hiking. Your grandparents allowed it, and I guess you could take it from there.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to go with them, but then I had to work, so I was not able to. So I dropped them off. I said goodbye, told Libby I loved her, made sure they had sweatshirts. Abby and Lib, they both actually had my sweatshirts, so that was fun because then I didn't have one. Then I drove to my boyfriend's house and sat with him while we were both getting ready for work. And while we were there, Chase had finished getting ready and he had to go to work an hour before me. And since his house was closer to work, I just stayed there and waited. And I sat there with his dad before work, and I got a call from my grandma. She actually called me twice, but I didn't hear my phone ring, so it was on the other side of the room on the charger. And I got up because I saw that the screen was on and checked to see what it was, and I called her back. And she asked me if I had heard from the girls, and I said, no, I haven't seen them since 1:30-ish when I dropped them off. And she's like, okay, well, Libby's not answering her phone, and your dad's there to pick her up. And it's 4:00, so he'd been there already for probably an hour. And I said, okay, do you want me to come down there? And she said, yeah, that would be awesome. So I called work and told them that my sister was missing and I needed to go help find her. They were totally fine with it. They told me, do whatever I had to do, I can come in after, because we were all sure we would find them on the trail somewhere. And so we did that. I went down to the bridge. They were nowhere at the beginning of the trail. My dad had been there looking. He was yelling for them. He tried calling the phones over and over again.
And at this point, you're really kind of not as worried as you later become, but like you are just starting to kind of, all right, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. We assumed that they had been like fallen and broken a leg, or Libby had dropped her phone somewhere and wasn't answering. So we just guessed that they were out in the trails somewhere there looking.
And these trails, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know, you live there, you grew up on them.
Mm-hmm.
People go on them all the time. They're not like some secluded woods. They are secluded, and they're made for walking.
Yes.
But if you could describe that too a little bit, what was it like, you know, to walk down? There were a lot other people there.
Mm-hmm. There were groups of kids that had been there throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I had, actually Chase, my boyfriend's younger sister, had been there just before I had dropped the girls off. We thought they were still there when I dropped them off, but I had found out later that they had already left. But when I got there and was looking, there were maybe 4 or 5 other girls and boys there that were probably around Libby's age. When you first walk in, the trail is, you can go 3 different ways. One that goes down to the water, one that goes to High Bridge, and one that goes back to Freedom Bridge, which goes over the Hoosier Heartland. And they obviously went down. We went down towards High Bridge because that's where we assumed they were. It's basically a long trail in between a wood, so there's nothing but trees on both sides. Once you get there, there's you're actually not supposed to go on the bridge. So there's a guardrail that it doesn't go fully to the length of the path, so you can go around the guardrail. And then you get on the bridge, and this bridge is probably 60 feet high over Deer Creek. Very scary, I wouldn't go over it. It's basically, most of the railroad ties are rotten, so there's big gaps in between all of them. So you have to be very careful while crossing it. So the first time Libby got me to cross it, I crawled across it. So it's terrifying. I don't recommend it to anyone. Then once you're at the end, it's actually you're trespassing on private property. It's the house. There's a house back there that is, it's just somebody else's driveway. So you're not supposed to go down there, but people do it anyway. So while I was there searching, me and my uncle went across the bridge, and we were looking down on the trails on the driveway, really, that's down there, to see if maybe they'd gone off the bridge and were on the trail that's down there. we had yelled her name for maybe 20, 30 minutes, and we were like, we're not finding her anywhere. We called her phone to see if we could hear it ring, but we didn't hear anything. There's like, it's not like we're in town, so there wasn't any noise. So if it were there somewhere that we was in our distance, we would have heard her phone ringing. So we were like, okay, she's not down here. So we went back. When we got back to the top of the bridge, my grandma, she was terrified of the bridge too. So she was standing on the edge and she was waiting for us. She was hoping we were coming back to tell them that we'd found them. Unfortunately, we hadn't. So we went back, and my dad, Cody, and me all stayed there. My grandma and grandpa went to the police department. That was probably 5:30.
Who's Cody?
My uncle.
Your uncle. Got it.
We stayed there. Eventually, I ended up going back to work because I told him I would be there in a couple hours. Then I got a call that the police wanted to talk to me, so I had to leave work. I was covered in ice cream and all kinds of stuff, but I still left. We hadn't found them, and it was like 6 o'clock, so I went there to talk to the police about what I remembered of that day after I dropped them off, and if I had gotten any of the Snapchats that were on her story and any of that.
Did you?
I did not. She posted them directly to her story, so whether or not she sent them to someone is really hard telling.
But they were there.
But they were on her
story. And you were actually able to look.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have that phone then?
Nope, I had a different phone.
So it was an iPhone, though, and you were able to see it quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, so I had my iPhone, and I showed the police the Snapchats that we had saw, which is basic. It's the picture of Abby on the other end of the bridge, and the picture of Libby leaning down. It's of High Bridge. And I showed them those, and that was about 2:07, I do believe, around that time. And so those were the last time we assumed that anybody had heard from them, because that was what the timestamp was on the pictures. After I had talked to the police, we put out search parties to find them. We got calls that they were at the old middle school gym, that they were at the high school. There were like games going on, I guess, that day, so they thought that that's where they were. So we went to look.
Is that within walking distance of where you would have dropped them off?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It was weird to think that people would think they were there because nobody picked them up, but the police also thought that they had run away.
So at this point, you have a search party out. It's getting dark.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving along with your family and police. Police call the search party off, but you guys keep looking.
Yes.
A lot of the frantic
community did.
The community?
Yeah. We all continued to search. My family went home around 10.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people had still stayed out to look because it was cold and dark. We went home, tried to get some sleep, and then around 7:30 in the morning, we had all went back out to search. We went into separate parties. The fire department split us up into groups, and we went to different places. Some of them were in town, Delphi. Some of them were like way out in the country near High Bridge, but nowhere my sister would have went voluntarily. Then my group that went to High Bridge, and another group that was also at High Bridge on the other side of the bridge. Three of us chose to cross the bridge to look underneath the bridge on the opposite side. And that's where I ended up hearing that we found the bodies.
When you were there, do you remember what you saw?
At High Bridge?
Right when they found the bodies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first off, I was standing on the trail that's right under the bridge, looking out into the woods, and somebody yelled up that they had found a shoe. When they found the shoe, they had asked what kind of shoes the girls were wearing, and they yelled up the type of shoe that Libby was wearing. So I yelled down and told them that. Actually, then the person that had asked that had put up their phone and saw two deer in the ground moving. And so he was looking to see what it might be. And he saw two deer standing up there. And when he saw them, he moved the camera down. And that's when we found them.
Did you ever actually go and see them up close at that point?
At that point, I had not. I'd wanted to. I wanted to run towards them. But the girl that was with me in my group had held me down and told me that we don't know who they are yet. We don't know that it's them. We don't know what they look like. We don't know anything that's happening right now, so you can't go to them. And so she kind of held me and made sure that I stayed there so I wouldn't go towards it.
Was that really hard for you?
It was so hard. I was incredibly emotional. I had, that morning, I had packed a bag with granola bars and a blanket, thinking that if we had found them, they were going to be starving. Like, they haven't been home in like 24 hours. And if it were me, I would want something to eat. So I brought granola bars because I had so much hope that we would find them alive. And then when we ended up not, I was completely crushed.
What can you tell us about what police are telling you at this point?
Right now, we're hearing that they are getting tons of leads. They're going through all of them and searching every tip and going over all of them to see what they can find. They're checking every person that's turned in. They just haven't found the right guy yet.
You said to me that your sister and they're both heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you say that?
Well, I don't think one would ever leave the other. If there was ever a chance for one of them to get away, they wouldn't have, because they loved each other that much, and they loved other people that much. And if they ever had the choice to leave somebody in that situation, I don't believe that they would. Abby was the super strong person, and Libby was the same way. So because their friendship was so strong, I know they wouldn't have left each other in that moment or any other moment.
What do you think happened to them?
I don't know what happened to them. And I guess part of me doesn't want to know, because I like to imagine them as the way I remember them. So I try not to think about them in their caskets in the gym or any of that, because that's not how I want to remember them. I want to remember them as the strong, courageous girls that were doing arts in their room the night before, or the movie night that we had the night before, rather than the search parties that went through town looking for them all night, or the funeral that we had to have for my 13-year-old sister. It's really hard to think that you have to remember that stuff rather than what you, the memories that you made.
Well, I admire the way you look at it, because that there are tons of ways that you could be acting or choosing to be, and you're choosing to be positive. And mm-hmm. a lot of people would look at that as someone who's very strong. So, you know, I really appreciate that. And I think that your voice is also part of it, which is like your sister. You know, you wanted to, what you said before. I did want to talk about your venture now, and where do you go from here? You know, you have some good ideas. You told me there are flyers in every county in the United States mm-hmm. with the information on that picture and that mm-hmm. guy. How does that make you feel?
It's incredible. We have such a strong support system and group of people that want to help us with this search that I don't think we ever thought we would have. I've always, you hear about these cases on the news, but you don't think about what happens behind the scenes or the people that try to help during those times. So knowing that we have all these people that are willing to go to every state and every county in those states to get this word out, it's insane to think about.
The information that did come out from your sister's phone, because they found the phone, they released a picture of this guy, which is incredible that someone got, that she got that picture. Mm-hmm. She must have known. There must have been some sixth sense. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me if I said that?
I think that would be pretty true.
The audio tape, what does that mean to you, to have those two things out there?
I think it's crazy to think how smart my sister was. I know we watched so many crime shows together, like NCIS, Criminal Minds, all
no
of those.
No way.
And my grandpa was always telling us to be observant and watch our surroundings. And I think those two things combined told her that something was about to happen, and she needed it to be on her phone. which is crazy because I don't think that without my sister doing that, I would never think to do that.
Sure.
And I watch crime shows and I listen to what my grandpa says, but I never would have thought, let's pull out my phone and record what's happening right now because something like terrible is about to happen and this is the only way I'm going to be able to tell them. So crazy that a 14-year-old could think of that.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And, you know, being safe, and it's a different world we live in now, mm-hmm. and those little computers in our pockets kind of help that. So mm-hmm. that's really impressive that she did that. Do you have any inkling of who this guy might be?
I have no idea. I've listened to the voice over and over again, and it's something that, like, you feel like you should know it. You feel like you should know that voice or you've heard it before, but you probably haven't heard it before. So to think that this guy could be somebody I have absolutely no idea who it is really crazy because I've heard it 10 million times, so it's like I know it. I know that voice. I can hear it in my sleep, but I can't figure out who it is.
And the pictures don't resonate at all?
No.
Do you hope that police release more stuff from her phone, or do you understand why they're not? Because there's a lot of calls for people to say, there's a lot of people out there that want more info mm-hmm. because they feel like that might help. But there's also, as a reporter, I deal with police and I completely understand when they don't release that because mm-hmm. that's important for their investigation. So there's two sides to it. What would you like to see?
I think it's good that they're not sharing it. One, because we don't know what's on it. It could be something that none of us want to see. And also because whatever's on there, we need to use in court someday. And when we get that chance, we need to use all of the evidence we can to get it to be tried. So if we show that to people, it could completely ruin the entire case.
Do you think this guy did this before?
I guess that would be speculation, but it kind of, I would say from the looks of it, if he hadn't done it before, how is he hiding so well?
He is hiding and he's out there, and we've talked about this before off audio, that you are nervous and that's affected you.
Mm-hmm.
How has that affected your life?
Well, I'm very much more observant now. I'll walk down the street and see a guy that might look like him, and I freak out because that might be him. Or I'll go to Walmart and have to avoid a complete aisle because that guy, it might be that guy. Mm-hmm. So it's changed how I look at people or changed how I go to the gas station. I can't go without my taser in my pocket, or I can't go into a store without my pepper spray in my purse because he might be there and he might come after me because I do have a voice and I'm trying to catch him. But I think what's come from it is a lot of girls in our community are learning how to protect themselves better, as well as guys. We're all learning how to protect ourselves better. I'm a big advocate now for self-defense. I go to self-defense classes and I carry this thing that kind of looks like really bad. It's like a stick. It looks like a butt plug. It's like a stick, but you like grip onto it and it's really sharp at the end. And that way you can stab their hand and it'll paralyze your hand.
Oh, wow.
And that way you can hopefully get away from him. It's called Damsel in Defense. Super cool company. They sell all kinds of stuff. So I carry this kind of stuff with me all the time because of what happened to my sister.
And you think that other people need to know that as well?
Yes.
That is very honorable, and I think that from who you tell me you were into who you are now, I would have never known. You are very outspoken and very eloquent in everything you're saying, so I really appreciate your time, and I know my listeners will too. Do you want to tell people what to do now for you?
I would say follow our Facebook, The Brainstorming for Abby and Libby, as well as my Twitter, LibertyG_sister. Both of those accounts post a lot of interesting things about the case. We'll share different pictures, as well as like I'll post memories about my sister. Just things to make them seem more personable. And share the flyer, get the word out, and
Somebody knows who that guy is.
Yes.
That's what police have been saying from the moment they release the audio mm-hmm. and the picture.
Yes, you can't go through life not knowing a single person. And you can't go through life not going to a grocery store or a gas station. You have to get gas. You have to buy food. You have to pay your water bill. So he's somewhere out there living, and somebody's talking to him this very second, and they don't even realize it. Probably because maybe they haven't heard about the case, or maybe they know their brother could be that guy, but they don't want it to be their brother, so they're not going to say something. So if you think you know who it is, tell someone. Tell the police, because you're saving people by telling them that you might know who this guy is.
Do you need closure?
I think my entire family does, and as well as our community needs it.
You guys are a small knit community. I mean, oh, yeah. Delphi, Indiana, is something less than 3,000 people, mm-hmm. Wide open, you know, kind of rural, mm-hmm. On the other side of where we are, but still, for people, I mean, people who are listening to this, it's infamous Indy. So Indiana, I try to describe it, and there are so many communities like Delphi mm-hmm. that are very close-knit. That community must be affected by it.
We're all affected by it. The ownership of guns has went up tremendously. It's insane. I was talking to our sheriff, Tope, and he's like, he's never had so many permit requests on his desk before this. We lock our doors now, which before we didn't have to. We would go to bed with our front door unlocked and it would be fine. Our family got a security system because it could happen at our house. Mm. And those are things that people in Delphi don't think of because we are so close. Like, people in Delphi don't do that stuff. So it's crazy that somebody might do that stuff. And now we all have to watch our backs and lock our doors and get security systems because this happened.
I want to end by just, again, saying thank you, but to put you about a month from where we are right now, mm-hmm. what is the 2-year anniversary going to be like for you?
It's going to be very emotional. The first year was way, it was crazy. It was emotional too, but I think this will be just as emotional, if not more, because of the length of time that it's been. I think people say it gets easier, but I'm not sure that that's really true. I think it becomes more normal for you, but when anniversaries come, it's still incredibly hard. So seeing all of the media posting about it or sharing the word, it'll help a lot, knowing that the word's still out there. And it'll give us a little sense of our community, just knowing that we are all still in this together 2 years later.
I think what really stands out is that the community has come together, at least mm-hmm. as a reporter covering this for the last couple of years. Your community has really stepped up. Mm-hmm. Your grandpa doing the ball fields, right? Mm-hmm. And the softball fields in their name. And all the games and events and fundraisers that you guys have put together, the shirts, all of it has really helped. And I hope that they get them. And I really appreciate you talking to me today. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we end the interview?
Nope, I think that's it.
All right. Well, thanks so much again. And it was really nice meeting you. And if there's anything you could ever need from me, you just let me know. All right.
Thank you so much to Kelsey for speaking with me. Afterwards, she told me that one thing that she'd like to see happen for her sister is that she's remembered as the lively, fun, incredibly brave girl that she was, not just as another statistic. I'm doing my best to make that happen. Kelsey sent me pictures of her sister and Abigail to post. Those are how the family wants Libby and Abigail to be remembered. If you'd like to see those, I posted them on infamousindy.com and the Infamous Indy Facebook and Instagram pages. I often see the phrase, somebody knows something. Well, if you know something, speak up. If you'd like to see the composite sketch police have released and listen to the voice, I posted it on infamousindy.com and Facebook and Instagram. Anyone with information about the case is asked to call the Delphi Homicide Investigation Tip Line at 844-459-5786. Or the Indiana State Police at 1-800-382-7537. Also, the Carroll County Sheriff's Department at 765-5735. 564-2413 or email at abbyandlibbytip@caoshrf.com. Donations can be accepted for the Libby and Abby Softball Park Fund at Carroll County Community Foundation, P.O. Box 538, Delphi, Indiana, 46923, or online at cfcarroll.org. Till next time, stay safe.